Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to start with verse 8, and I'm going to give you some faith lessons from Abraham and Sarah. Have you know that Sarah's faith was just as important as Abraham's faith? Amen? It was both of them that made things happen, and Sarah had to believe. Remember, she laughed, and the Lord said, "Why are you laughing?" And she ended up having the laugh of faith instead of the laugh of unbelief. And Abraham had to laugh too. So God bless them. They finally believed. And God brought off a great miracle. So Abraham's a father of faith, but Sarah's the mother of faith too. And we need them both. So we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 through 16. And we're going to see in these things, there are going to be two things we're going to learn from Abraham, two things we're going to learn from Sarah. And it's going to give us a life of faith that's going to give us power and hope and victory in this life right here. And so in verse 11, chapter 11 of Hebrews, verse 8, it says, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And as he went out, not knowing where he was going." Now, just interesting right here that we are living in a time in so many ways that we can't just make plans and we can't always say exactly where we're going or what we're doing because we have to wait because we can't, you know, we're restricted in our gatherings, we're restricted in our travel. But I believe that God knows how to direct us. God knows how to tell us where to go, and God knows tell us when to get with somebody because he's the ultimate governor. Okay, he's the ultimate king, he's the ultimate president, and he's the one that tells us where to go. He's the one who shows us who to talk to, and he's also the one to tell us when to get together. And so I just want you to know, we may not always know the way God works. It says that Abraham went. And so this first thing I want you to learn from faith here with Abraham is that sometimes you have to go before you know. Now, just I want you to say that right now. Sometimes I got to go before I know. You go before you know. Sometimes God just tells you to get in your car or get on the phone or do something and go somewhere. And you may not necessarily know all that you need to know at the time. God, a lot of times, will cause us to take a step of faith. And I believe our definition of faith is risk. That means you step out like Peter stepping out of the boat into the water because Jesus called him to go. Can I get an amen to that? Come on now. Yeah. He stepped out of the boat and yeah, he did sink, didn't he? But what did Jesus do? He picked him up out of the water and he kept walking, didn't he? So I just want, you know, that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to get up and go when he wants us to, and he wants us to do what God wants us to do. I will never forget back in 2016, and we had just come back from India, and I was tired. I was glad to be home, and I wanted to be home a while. And Abner calls me up at the end of December, right around the New Year's, and says, I have this trip scheduled in February in England, and none of the dates have come together, and the person who was organizing it for me, you know, just couldn't work it out. You know, will you pray for me? So I was praying for Abner. Have you know, prayer can be dangerous because you may be part of the answer. Come on now. You may be part of the answer, Miss Heidi. So God's okay. It's okay to pray. God's going to bless you. So anyway, we started praying for Abner. And you know, the Lord said, he said, "I want you to help him. I want you to book him. Just book from people that you know from the days back gone past." And I'm talking about 20 years ago, actually longer, 30 years ago. I you know, we were in England. I hadn't gone to England in a long time. And it was back in the late 80s when I took a group from Elam Bible Institute there. And I hadn't been much back, you know. And so the Lord said, I want you to go. And I want you to call these people. And by faith, I just started picking up, writing emails, picking up the phone. And then he said, I want you to go with him. Don't just book it. You're going to go with him to England. And it ended up England, Northern Ireland, and Switzerland. God put together a tour for Abner, and it was just, we just went. I didn't know at the time all the details, and God just put it all together. As a matter of fact, I was so excited. One of the cool things that happened is that we ended up in Northern Ireland in the home of St. Patrick, and we got to, just out of the graciousness of a certain pastor out there who was a wonderful man of God, we got to be a part of the inaugural service of a flourishing church there. And it started in the museum, St. Patrick's Museum, I believe, in Downpatrick, Northern Ireland. And we got to be a part of the very first service of the launching of that church. And it's now it's just like going gangbusters. What an honor it was to just be a part of whatever that God is doing, because God just wants to link you up and partner you with things. And God told Abraham, he said, go, and then I'll show you where you need to be. And so it wasn't that Abraham didn't know anywhere. He came to a certain place, and God said, this is it. This is it. Shechem was one of the places God said, this is it. So Abraham built an altar. And then Abraham went to a place called Bethel. How many of you heard of Bethel? Okay. Yeah. God said, build an altar at Bethel. This is it. This is it. So he began to tell Abraham after he went where it was that he was going. He didn't know when it was God until his feet literally were standing on the ground. Amen. So a lot of times God calls us to go, and then we'll know after that. Okay, remember, God wants to be our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Okay, the way that we walk this life is for God to be our shepherd. And remember, those that who are led by the Spirit of God, come on now, those are the children of God. Those that are led by the Spirit of God. God wants to teach us how to be led by the Spirit. That's Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Don't be led by the flesh. Don't be led by the world. Don't be driven around here and there by what everybody wants to tell you what to do. How many of you know that? How many know that? There are no shortage of people that want to tell you what to do, what to eat, where to go, what to wear. Come on now, what to wear, who to be with, what's good, what's not good. Everybody wants to tell you. But God wants you to know how to walk with being led by the Lord. Okay, now the second thing in verse 9, here's what it says in Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham went to live in a land of promise as a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. So Abraham, now listen to this. Abraham was living in a house in Ur of the Chaldees. And God said, I want you to move. Now, in the meanwhile, Abraham, you got to do something you've never done before. I want you to start living in a tent. Live in a tent. Someday you're going to have a house that you'll never have to get out, move out of. But for now, you have to live in a tent. And so all of his earthly life, Abraham became a tent dweller. So the second thing I want to tell you is, after you leave, you got to live in a tent so that you can get the house. Live in the tent so you can get the house. One of my buddies I met from upstate New York just bought a retreat property in North Carolina, and they're living in a camper. Okay, a camper. Why? Because they're going to be building a house someday. They've got some cabins there and stuff like that. So we could also say that Abraham kind of lived in an RV. He was an RV guy, kind of guy, waiting for the house to be built. And God wants us to know that we need to have a mobile lifestyle. Isn't that amazing? Here we are. Where are we? We're kind of in our tents. right now. Isn't your car like a tent? You got all your stuff in it. You get in that car, you can go anywhere with that car. You can put your bed. Some of you can get your beds in there. You can just pick up and go. And that is your mobile unit, so to speak. That's your little RV. And I just believe that God wants to use this example right now of where we're at, of what's truly important. What's more important? Is living in the house in heaven more important, or is your earthly house here? It's heaven. And I believe that part of what's going on right now, the Lord wants us to know that our priorities need to shift, and that God wants to get us more heavenly minded, and that'll make us more earthly good. We'll be able to do more on this earth if we have our priorities straight, and our priorities need to be on our heavenly house and not so much on our earthly house. Abraham went from a house to a tent because he wanted a better house. How many of you want a better house? Amen. I want a better house. That's an awesome house right there. But let me tell you, it's a lot of work. 4,500 square foot of work and fixing. Okay. But I want you to know that who is the builder of the house we're going to? He's the builder and he's the maker, the builder and designer. He designed our house. Come on now. He designed our house just the way we like it. Come on. And he built it right. And how do you know? Not all contractors are alike. Come on. When you get you a good one, you never let go of them. But when you get you a bad one, boy, you hurt bad. You hurt bad. I've had experience with this particular house here. And when you get yourself a bad contractor, unfortunately, you don't always find out until it's too late that something wasn't done right. But God, when God builds you your house, it's going to be done right. Better than you can ever think of. He is the designer and the best builder there is out there. Can you give me a honk for Jesus? Come on now. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, if you build your house on my words, it's like building your house on a rock. What's going to happen? When the storms come, guess what? That house isn't going down. And we have a house right now in heaven, not built with man's hands. All right, let's talk about Sarah now. Here we go. Verse 11, by faith, Sarah received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. So here's the third thing. Here's the first thing from Sarah now, the third thing. Two things from Abraham, two things from Sarah. You can, like Sarah, conceive when you're past the point of no return. You can have what God wants you to have when it seems like you're past the point of no return. God spoke to her and said, Sarah, you're going to have a son. And she was like, wait a second, I'm past the point of no return. I can't get this. He's too old. I'm too old. But look what it says. By faith, by believing what God said, she received power to get what God promised. So God doesn't just want to promise you something. He wants to give you the power to get it. He wants to give you the power to get what he's promised. And how does he give you the power to get what he's promised? Here's what she did. It says, she considered him faithful who had promised. Now, what does it mean to consider? There's a lot of different words there for consider. The word that they use, that the writer to the book of Hebrews specifically chose, I believe by the Holy Spirit, used a word to make a decision like a ruler would make a decision. Actually, this word is often translated ruler or leader. So Sarah became a ruler or a leader of her own life in God by making a decision, a hard decision of authority, that I am going to believe God, and that her ability to decide that God is faithful was actually like someone making a ruling decision, and therefore it's done. God has given you the ability to make a decision that will have eternal consequences. When you said yes to Jesus and made him Lord, you made a decision like a ruler that shifted what happened in the universe, didn't you? Changed your destiny, not just your destiny, but the destiny of those around you, your children, your family. Come on now. God has given you authority. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that we are like kings and priests. We're not just a priest, but we have this authority that comes by believing God, by making a decision. How many Sarahs out there are making a decision to get power to believe God for his promise? It's time that we get some power, folks, and for the promises of God. I mean, God will deliver when he wants to, but we have to believe him and make that decision. Okay, she ruled her thought life. Now let's go to the verse 12. Therefore, from one man, and as him as good as dead, was born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. Look at this. Here's the last thing I want to share with you from Sarah. From Sarah, everything that she got came from one man. God said to her, from this one son of yours, your descendants are going to be what? Like the sand on the shore and the stars in heaven that cannot be counted. Now, what is the application of this? What was God really telling her? Was it just Isaac in the natural? No. Who's the great son? Jesus. Through Jesus, and that one man as good as dead, right? Abraham was as good as dead. Come on now. Who is the one that was as good as dead that we now have eternal life? Jesus. He was as good as dead. He was dead on the third day, and he rose from the grave. And through him, we have eternal childbearing. What is that? Eternal childbearing. That means, come on, that means you have life that's continually being birthed in you. Come on now, for a woman, it was not a curse. There was no curse of childbearing back with Eve, right? And so for her, she was just the one that God had designed to continually bring forth new life. And through Christ, every one of us is like Sarah, constantly birthing life. Constantly birthing life. That means things that you and I are going to say and do are going to actually bring life to people. People's lives are going to have eternal significance because of what we say and do. Come on, God is good. We will never, ever get past childbearing age. Glory to God. We'll never, ever, ever get to the point where we can't bring forth life. Because of our husband, Jesus. Glory to God. If women could be sons of God, men can have Jesus as their husband. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Now, verse 13, I'm going to finish it off. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak this way, make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. They're seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking that land from which they had gone out, they would have opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. One word of warning. I'm going to tell you one thing not to do. Okay? It says there, it says, for if they were thinking about their former place, they would be going back to it. But that's not like the people of faith in the book of Abraham and Sarah. When Abraham and Sarah left their home, they never turned back. Never. And how did they do that? It says that they stopped reminiscing about the good old days. when you were hanging out with Abraham and Sarah, Sarah wanted to go, Abe, you remember that day back there in Haran? Boy, we had good food at that restaurant there. Really good. It was really good. They didn't reminisce. They didn't think about their former life. They didn't go back for good or for bad, guys. Come on now. Come on now. The devil wants to remind you of your past failures. Why? To stop you from going into your future victories. Come on. So he'll try to stop you from moving forward because you're always turning back, not always to the good. Sometimes people, all they do is think about their past problems. All they do is play it over again, that old recording of what they did wrong, what they thought wrong, where they made mistakes, what they did here and there. No, 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 no. God said, don't rehearse, don't reminisce, don't go over the past mistakes, past hurts, past failures, and even the past good things, because if you do, you'll end up going back. God says you're not going back. You're moving forward. Don't reminisce, because you've got a house that is waiting for you that the designer and builder is God. Praise God. Amen. Let's give the Lord a shout of victory. Amen. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. Lord, so we bless you. We thank you for taking the time to come up here and hang out on this beautiful day. Another beautiful day. It's a little cool here, but that's okay. The presence of God is here. And I want to bless all of you that took the time. Thank you so much. We appreciate you taking the time to watch and to listen and to spend time with us here on the little mountaintop in Martinsville, Virginia, Wellspring Fellowship. Glory to God. God bless you. See you later.
Bye.
Bye. Yay.